Okay, so we've done, over the years, we've done some interesting talks about SMB3, but I think now we can really talk about it being useful and stable for Linux. I think many of you know me from the Samba team and from maintaining the kernel SIFS for a while, for many years now. I had some fun going back, seeing why we care about it. Obviously, we have some people who use SIFS with thousands of machines out there at the conference, and we're all aware of our problem customers. But I think it's also interesting to realize this is the 50th anniversary of the file system. So, you know, we think SMB is wonderful because we've been here 31 years. Hey, file systems are around 50 years. I also think it's kind of neat because very few of us remember what a zettabyte is, but we're beyond that point now. So, you know, if you're wondering what a zettabyte is, look that up after the talk. But that's the amount of data that IDC was estimating. We were around 2010, and obviously it's pretty crazy how much data is transferred off file systems, many of which are Samba, surprisingly, interestingly. But in case you came to the wrong conference, I always worry sometimes if people actually, you know, thought that this was some other type of conference. You know, we all do feel sort of, I don't know, we feel maybe self-conscious sometimes about NAS in this world where we always talk about block devices. But I think many of you are aware of the reason why we're here. I think realistically, when you're talking about moving data from Linux or moving data from any operating system, file systems are often the better choice, usually the better choice, because it's much more intuitive, easier to secure, and doesn't require a really expensive sysadmin with really esoteric skills. And I think it's also important to realize what's going on behind the scenes. I thought this was an interesting chart, you know, just what goes on, how many of those videos that your kids are watching require some file systems or NAS box in the background to be accessed. This was kind of a staggering amount of stuff that goes on every minute. But why do we care about Linux? Well, because there are a lot of file systems and a lot of activity, and it's well maintained. I think, you know, it's kind of interesting to realize that every release, four times a year, you know, we see 70, you know, over a year, we see 77,000 change sets. It's been kind of constant the last two or three years. It's been kind of similar. File system activity has also been fairly similar, but, you know, 4,400 change sets with a lot of really annoying developers who have a lot of annoying comments about making this stuff terse. You know, the development's actually, the code base is actually a little better than you might think. Code base is pretty strictly maintained. A lot of smart developers. Well, there's the group of developers. So, file system developers, you've got the ButterFS developers, the EXT4 developers, I'm in there somewhere. That core group of developers that does the MM layer and the FFs layer was, you know, back in Boston a few months ago. It's a really strong group of people. Now, I maintain SIFS file system. But the file systems in Linux are all, there are other file systems, unfortunately. We talk about ButterFS a lot. I think Jeremy was wondering whether it was stable. Well, obviously it wasn't stable. It had 684 patches, right? On the other hand, it is stable because I use it. And I'm happy, you know. But EXT4 has maybe one-half to one-third as much activity. Obviously, we're well-known, we understand this, but if you look at all these kinds of things and realize how much effort has gone into maintaining these, you get a feeling for, you know, how interesting it is to work on Linux file systems, and also how important it is that we make sure those file systems can access Samba well. Now, the one little thing that you may, guys may not be aware of is partly due to some work from Primary Data, the company I work for, Jeff Layton and others, the NFS server activity has dramatically increased in the last year. The NFS server was kind of a forgotten child for a while with, you know, far less activity on it than you might expect. There's been quite a bit of activity on the NFS server over the last year. Actually, as much or more, almost as much as on the client. Okay, so kernels have wonderful names. Linus has our, you know, the pun that they've been using for a little while here for our appropriately named sheep. The 4.1 kernel. You guys realize that we have gone, following the lead of Samba, we have gone to Linux 4.0, just like, you know, we are soon going to catch up with Samba and reach us a Linux 4.2, but that'll be 3 or 4 months from now. The kernel's on a fairly strict release cycle. Okay, so what's the kind of stuff that's being worked on? Fixing SMB3 implementation gaps, improving the test automation. This is one thing we need to talk about among the Samba team members, or unless you guys have other ideas of how to, like with ext4 and like with ButterFS, making sure that that wonderful set of file system tests, the file system tests are inappropriately named XFS test, but actually have nothing to do with XFS other than the original heritage. That XFS test suite is very, very suitable, like we do with SMB Torture, for running daily, weekly, or monthly checks to make sure we don't regress things. It, for example, has found Samba bugs. I don't know if you guys realize we couldn't set time to before 1970, right? We couldn't set negative epoch stuff, right? So we find Samba bugs with this, not just kernel bugs. And this fallocate punch hole bug that I note here was a good example of the kinds of things that would be hard for a developer to construct without using something like XFS test. Now, we have some gaps. The SIFS code has been around a lot longer than the SMB3 code. There are some pieces that haven't been implemented. Support for KRB5, for example, and support for mapping ACLs into mode bits. And also, we need to continue to work on improving the POSIX emulation. I have some slides I want to talk about with that, and we can talk with Tom Talpe and others about that later. And obviously, continued performance improvements. SMB3 performs very well, but there are areas where we have obvious performance improvements. So what are the feature status of the SMB3 support? The security features are largely complete. The downgrade attack protection that goes on in the SMB3 protocol flows that happens right after negotiate protocol, and the signing improvements that were added in SMB2.1. We have patches for the client to negotiate the SMB3.1 negotiate context. Those will probably not go in this release. It'll probably be next. They're almost complete. The piece that's missing is a small part of the session setup code. We don't do the claims-based access. We don't do claims-based ACLs, and we don't do per-share encryption yet. Although that could be a low-hanging fruit to attack over the next 6 months or 3 months. We have durable handle support thanks to work by Pavel a couple summers ago. The durable handle support allows better data integrity on reconnection. We have the multi-credit support, the large I/O sizes. We default to 1 meg I/O sizes, so large file copy is actually pretty good. We don't do the T10 copy offload, but we do the copy chunk stuff, and with the ButterFS work that David and others have done, this is really nice because we can copy pretty fast. It's very, very fast. We need some better tooling around that, but it looks good. We don't do the clustering, so some of the features like continuous availability, sort of a no-op at this point because we don't do anything with that flag right now. That's something we could consider adding. And we don't do RDMA because we don't do multi-channel. We do the first step of multi-channel, which is querying the adapter information, saving it off for debugging purposes, but we don't actually use that information for multi-channel yet, but that's an area that we've been talking about and very interested in continuing. Also, there are areas where we could significantly improve performance by compounding a set of SMB operations into one. Open query close, for example, would allow us to do stat faster. And in read-dir, sometimes you do many, many, like ls-l. This can cause three times as many operations because we don't do the compound operations. These are performance improvements that are gradually get improved. The set compression support in Samba is very nice, and obviously we can do that from it's not strictly an SMB3 feature, but it is something that we do. And also the sparse file support. Some of that work that's been done in Samba is very nice to see from the client when you do fallocate. So there's been a lot of progress there. Now, what's the problem, though? I think we all heard earlier about Jose Barreto's blog entry, right? If you look at this blog, you should be planning to get rid of this old SMB dialect. But we default to SIFS. Right, we default to this in mount today. So there's the problem. SMB is going to be deprecated. So what are we going to do? Well, we've got to move to SMB3. Well, SMB3 is stable. It's not experimental. But there are some holes. we can't move until we have good enough Linux application interoperability. I hate to say POSIX compatibility because maybe nobody cares. What they care about is that Linux apps work. And they care that the SMB3 support doesn't regress them in key areas. We don't want to have a step back and break apps. You know, there's a picture, right? You got a lot of APIs that some of which are POSIX, some of which are Linux specific. We want these to continue to work or work better with SMB3. But what are the details of our POSIX interoperability right now? Well, we had hard links for a while. We can support POSIX path names by default when we mount today. By default, you can do, you know, put question marks or you can't do backslash, but you can do, that was an error on my slide, asterisk, question mark, colons, you know, the reserved characters we can handle. We can do symlinks. You have to add a mount parameter, MF symlink, so we may change that to make that the default. We can create FIFOs, pipes, character devices. Now, we do support returning some attribute flags. These are like the ext2 attributes, the things that come back with the lsadder and chadder call. For example, compressed. We support most of the information on stat and statfs, but not all. We do support all of them with Samba, with the POSIX extensions, but not with SMB3. One of the things I've been thinking about is rather than do a full set of Unix extensions, it may be easier for the statfs example just to simply do the same info level that we do today. Because this is a relatively lower priority option. Now, and we only have partial support for POSIX byte random lock. We can emulate them two ways. We can emulate them by taking the normal local POSIX byte range locks, sending them across as mandatory, or we can just do them locally only. That's good enough for many apps, but not all. POSIX behavior on open affects byte range locks. It also unlink, right? You can delete a file that's open, where in Windows you can only do silly rename, mark it as deleted, and move it out of the address space. So this POSIX behavior on unlink is a little bit trickier. I mean, we can emulate it with the silly rename, which we can do in SIFT as well, but it's not exactly perfect for every use case because it stays in the namespace at some level while it's being deleted. Where in Linux, it's deleted out of the namespace, and yet you still can continue to use it while it's being closed. Okay, we also have some xadders that are used for SE Linux. And xadders are maybe not critical for a lot of things, but there are occasional app that uses it. We can send OS2 style xadders today. User dot, from a Linux perspective, you know, the xadders that begin with either OS2 or user, that's fine. But there are some other things, for example, the Mac, that maps streams and xadders in an interesting way. And there's a few Linux apps that do this as well. So how we handle xadders is one of those things that we could do. We could map them to streams like the Mac sometimes does. Or there are some other tricks we could use. But today, the non-user namespace ones would be a little tricky. That's something that we can work on and close that gap, but it's just we have not for SMB3 yet. Now, in terms of the other POSIX features, the mode bits, we can get mode bits back with SIFSACL. Unfortunately, we have it for SIFS, we don't have it for the SMB3 code. It's something Shirish has looked at off and on over the past few months. I don't expect it to be a big issue. The Apple create context also allows you to return the mode bits as part of the create response. And if we use the AAPL context, which Samba's VFS fruit already supports, we can get those back another way, perhaps more efficiently than doing an ACL query after open. Similarly with the ownership information, the UID and GID mappings through WinBind can be done, and the UID GID mappings through WinBind may be the best way to do it, but alternatively we can do it the AAPL context way. The one thing that's a little bit tricky to talk about as well is case sensitivity on opens. If you have two files with the same name that differ in case, it's tricky to handle in SMB. Now, interestingly, there is in the AAPL context, there is a volume flag that comes back that says whether it's case sensitive or not. And I wanted to poke around in the SMB3 query FS info levels and share info levels to see if they have the same thing that would allow us to do this without having to use the AAPL, the Apple create context. So we could query, oh, this is NTFS formatted as case sensitive, or this is Samba formatted as case sensitive. If it were, then we have the obviously it's not going to be the most common way somebody configures this, but if you have a highly case sensitive application, I think any of you who've compiled the kernel, for example, have run into the weird stuff where there's a couple weird places in the kernel where they've got the same file name, identical file name that differs in case. And those kind of things, if you're going to actually have that kind of workload to do, there's no problem running it if you have a case-sensitive file system, but we have to know that on the client. And to know that on the client, we have to be able to query it. And right now, the only way I need to look at it a little bit more, the only way I know how to query whether the file system is case-sensitive or not is via the AAPL context, which we'd prefer not to do if we can avoid it because it changes some other behaviors. On the other hand, we can do this in SIFS. We can get this back in SIFS. So this isn't as... So actually, the story is not so bad right now. But so how do we finish this? Obviously, we have a little bit of investigation work to do. We've talked about some of that. We have to finish off the SMB3 ACL support to give us that option. We need to allow the Apple create context, not just to talk to Apple, but also if Samba's running VFS fruit, this is a relatively cheaper way to get those... the UID information back and the mode information back. We need to be able to detect and recognize when the server volume is case sensitive, because that way we save a whole lot of trouble on the client worrying about case sensitive opens. Also, we need to be able to enable this UID upcall. So if we're not running, you know, the Apple create context, maybe the default case, we can get the ownership information from WinBind. That works for SIFS. But we need to do that for SMB3 mounts. And on a loosely related point, if you're going to be using UIDs in a global namespace and you've got Active Directory, you're probably going to be using Kerberos. Kerberos is not enabled for SMB3 mounts. It is for SIFS as an option. So the sec equals KRB5. We also need to recognize a few minor sort of POSIX-ish things that Windows can do, the NFS symlink, for example. You don't need to do NFS symlinks because you can use the Minshall French, the MF symlink form. But... in some cases, if you're running a cross-protocol NFS and Samba with Windows, we recognize them and we do most of it, but there's a couple pieces of that we don't do. So if we do add extensions here, where I'd be lobbying for them or where I'd be prototyping them would be a sort of a trivial create context flag that would be largely for POSIX locking and for POSIX open and unlink behavior. So very narrow scope rather than a really broad scope Unix extensions. So something that just controls those behaviors. And then similarly adding an info level for the POSIX FS info. And I'll show you why in a minute on that last one. So we could also improve Samba. As we were talking yesterday, when you create a symlink in Apple, as you were talking about, when you create a symlink on an Apple server, the MF, the Minshall French style symlinks, Apple recognizes it's an F, the server recognizes an F, and converts it into a local symlink. Now these are pseudo files, these are files that have a special payload in the data. So on the wire, it looks like a write of data. Apple catches that, says, oh, this is an MF symlink, and converts that file then to a symlink, a real symlink. So in effect, it's doing a conversion of a file with data into a symlink based on the some hints within the file data. So it's kind of an interesting thing whether Samba would want to do that. Not for every case, but for the non-wide link, where it's within the share, that's probably a good thing. Where it's outside the share, we get the best of both worlds because we really don't want to, you know, have files that point to the server's Etsy password file. We have had enough problems with Samba running as root and worrying about security exposures with symlinks. But for things within the Samba share, it may be an advantage to have do what Apple does, basically, this the MF symlink, although they do it more aggressively than I would. There's also a few other little things. I was just noticing while Richard was talking about his... Well, actually, it wasn't Richard. I'm sorry. Jeremy was talking about cloud stuff. we don't support level 11 of QueryFS info, so we can't find what's... So one of the things StatFS does is StatFS asks you what's the optimal size for I/O. Well, that's in level 11, and apparently we don't support that. I need to go look and try that again. I unfortunately tried it against, I think, Samba 4.1 instead of Samba 4.2, so I do need to double-check and see if that's in Samba 4.2. But in my tracing against current Ubuntu, that was very odd and something I need to look at a little bit more, because that piece of data, what I/O size, may be used by some applications. Okay, so I did some testing just last night. You know, this box has a number of VMs running on it. And so this is 4.1RC3, maybe 3 days old. So the kernel is pretty current. You know, 3 days old is pretty good. It's mounted to Samba 4.16 Ubuntu. I mean, we could mount to Samba 4.2 or master if we wanted. I also mounted to Mac, so we have some screenshots of copying stuff to the Mac. Yeah, I think, as you guys know, this is a 10.10, so this is SMB3 on this host, and then the guests, Ubuntu, were running Samba. Now, there is still some work to do, obviously. We talked about some of that in the previous slides, and I did notice an interesting bug in detection of FIFOs while I was doing this. I'm not sure how to resolve it. Maybe you guys will have some ideas. Also, by the way, in this next slide, I don't show mounting with the SFU mount option. I had forgotten it on the first mount, but I did redo the mount from another window, adding that back in. So it may be hard to read here, but what we have at the top is I've mounted with verse equals 3.0. I added one mount option at first, MF symlinks, and then later added the second for SFU. So by default, it did all the other POSIX behaviors. We had to add the symlink one. Now, there were two files there originally. The first thing I did was an ln-s, and it's hard to read, but the ln-s shows you creating a symlink, worked fine. Then I did an ls of that, and you can see the symlink pointing where you expect. This is SMB3, this is Samba on the target end, and Windows would behave the same way. I also did it to Windows. Stat it shows that it's a symlink, as expected, and the timestamps are what you expect. Then I did I created another file, made a hard link, worked as expected. So the next thing I did was I wanted to show the name mapping behaviors. So I created a file with a colon in it, I created a file with an asterisk in it, created a file with a question mark in the path name, and I did two LSs. You can see... you can probably see the thing looked normal here. And then I listed it locally to Samba, and you see these bizarre, I'm not exactly sure what characters those are, but I'm assuming that there's some sort of, I don't know, Vietnamese or Thai or some sort of Asian language that I don't know. In any case, whatever characters these are, those are mapping the Unicode remap range, the UCS2 remap range. That Mac uses, and this is what they look like if you looked at them on a local box. But that's a question mark and a backslash, and, sorry, a question mark and a, let's see, what are those, a colon, asterisk, and question mark. So remotely they look fine, and on a Mac they look fine, and obviously running services for Mac on Windows they would also look fine. Then the last, go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah, and that might be worth doing. So as Ian indicated, that with VFS Fruit, we could map those on the fly to what they're supposed to be. And that might be good. And I guess if we're not using the Apple Create context and is just doing the mapping, then it's harmless to run VFS Fruit. We have to be a little careful without doing additional testing that the semantic behavior differences of using the Create context don't... We haven't decided yet whether sending the create context to Samba with VFS Fruit changes other behaviors we'd worry about. I think it's probably fine. And one of the experiments I wanted to do later today was actually just send the AAPL context to see if any of the behaviors get worse. Because, I mean, I think realistically, they probably won't be a problem. Now, the final thing I did in this particular one was a make FIFO. Now, this is an interesting problem, though, and this is where I could use some help. you look at the Make FIFO, it succeeded. And this is Samba, of course. Now, as you guys know, Samba, by default, doesn't support system files. It doesn't support DOS attributes, other than read-only, perhaps. So they have to map these, right? So we did a Make FIFO, and we do it the way that Microsoft Services for Unix does it. And what you don't see here was I unmounted and mounted in another window with the SFU mount option to make sure this worked. But what was curious about this was when you stat it, as you can see, it's not a FIFO. It's a file. So what happened? It succeeded. Well, Samba lied to us, unfortunately. Samba lied. And I need to know about why it lied. Or I need to know that it's going to lie because I don't want to do a FIFO. I don't want to create a FIFO if it's not going to work. So I'll need to check somehow, or at least in the man page, note, don't use SFU to Samba unless you're running the plugin that saves the DOS attributes, or have the SMB conf set up to save the DOS attributes. So here's some more detailed information about the mounts. I have two mounts here. I mounted one on top of the other, but you can get a feeling for what happened here. Because most Macs are running 2.1 SMB, I mounted it. This supports SMB 3 as well, but the Mac mount here is SMB 2.1. The other one is SMB 3. And if you're curious, you can see the file system attributes and dev info and those kinds of things, the path component Macs and that sort of thing. Now, interestingly, we show a path component max of 255 here, but I think it's kind of curious when you look at it with StatFS, sort of interesting. Okay, so there were a couple other things I wanted to show. Here we've now mounted to, let's see, I think it's a Windows box here, yep. So mounting to a Windows box, this is Windows 8.1 we're mounted to, and this I just did, I'm not sure if it was a breakfast or last night, but this very, it's nothing particularly fancy here. But I created FIFOs, I created a block device, I created a character device. I think you can see those here. You can see that Windows fills in much more useful information than Samba, and even more useful than Mac. It's telling me, for example, it's partition aligned. And interestingly, I think you guys probably noticed this is a Mac. It's got an SSD drive. I'm running this as a guest. It was so nice that Windows figured out, oh, it's an SSD drive, so there's no seek penalty. Well, I don't use that data right now, but I should. I should use that information. Well, Samba doesn't report information like that, where Windows does. And Windows is even reporting it correctly in a VM, which I think is kind of cool.
So I think, at least on Hyper-V,
so I did some testing with Hyper-V on a spinning disk, and it was also reporting no seek penalty on Hyper-V with a spinning disk. So I think it might be doing that just...
In any case, I like the fact that it's possible to return to a real server this data, even if they do lie in some cases. But what I liked about this as well was the other things they return, the optimal sectors, some of this other stuff that is very useful. Now, let's see. Creating the FIFOs, block device carriers worked. Let's see. It's telling me, where'd it go? Yeah, so as you can see here, it shows what you'd expect on this FIFO. See, the P is set where to Samba it wasn't, because we can recognize it because Windows supports those attributes. Let's see. Now, going down here, it's also kind of interesting because, and it shows up correctly even in Reader. Down here was kind of interesting. We tried to create a file with a slash, and I'd forgotten that the one character that we don't map, this is the one problem we have. We do not map backslash. So that's the only POSIX character, I think, that we don't map, although you talked about a few special cases. Now, compare this, for example, with a Mac. I took this screenshot, and my presentation is running on a Mac. Unfortunately. So think about this. I got to copy it to the Mac. Well, how are you going to copy it to the Mac? Well, I'm running the current kernel, so VMware tools aren't going to work. So how do I get it to a Mac? Well, it supports SMB3, so let me mount to the Mac, right? Well, okay, it actually didn't work properly because it's not connected to the internet, whatever. So I mounted the other direction, mounted from the Mac to Samba to copy this file. Now, interestingly, screenshot files have spaces in them. Works fine, Linux to Samba. It does not work fine, Mac to Samba. Maybe it would with VFS Fruit. But what was fascinating to me was, you know, we spend all of this time worrying about getting this perfect, but, you know, I couldn't get my screenshot file copied until I renamed it. So anyway, that wasn't a reserved character. You're allowed to have spaces and file names. But in any case, I was able, obviously, to rename it. But I thought that what I want to get across here is that this is actually pretty good. And if you compare with other POSIX systems, it's not that bad. And you know, I think we're all aware that there are cases there are certainly plenty of cases where NFS has had interoperability problems, and we're aware of some of the emulation that NFS has had to do. And one of the things we forget is that even NFS doesn't do POSIX compatibility perfectly, nor all the Linux special APIs. So let's see. There are some other things we've been looking at besides the ACL support. One of the things we've been looking at is, okay, let's say that we want to do as the Mac does and map a lot of this stuff to streams. One of the things we'd like to be able to do is migrate people to Samba. I mean, I don't know, some of you guys like Samba, I hope. So if you like Samba, you want to get, you know, you're sitting on a Samba box, I want to copy files from Mac or some other server, or you want to back them up maybe. If you're going to do that, we're going to have to be able to capture all of that data. Well, one of the things that we may have to capture is the streams. Well, there's no problem with this, right? Getting streams is no problem. We can open a stream today. We just file colon something. But if we turn on the remapping, we're going to have problems opening files with colons in them. So this is an interesting problem. And similarly, we're going to have problems with listing streams. So we can map that to xadders. So in Windows, the streams that would be normally file colon whatever would show up as a special xadder on the Linux client. We could do that. And maybe, you know, streams colon something might be the key for that. Yeah, so it has like a streams colon something. Yeah. Yeah, and that may be how we want to do this. The difficulty we have is that streams can be quite large. And there's a couple examples that you've talked about where VFS Fruits had to deal with those very large streams. Other than dollar data, of course, most of them tend to be small. But I do want to be able to back up and move streams. Go ahead.
Right, and the other problem is semantically, streams are the same as files, so you can seek in a stream.
Right.
You cannot seek in an XAdder.
Yep. Now, realistically, for the backup case, that might not be a problem because you'd have a utility that would do, open the file, query its XAdders, see that it has streams, copy the file, then associate the stream with it as a one big blob. Because we don't have a stream API in Linux, the bigger problem is that what if it's more than 64K or whatever the maximum size of it is? And I worry about that a little bit. There is a call to... Well, it's very important to have one-to-one compatibility. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of rumors in the press about some North Korea attack where they, you know, copied files with weird stuff on them to drop them on probably with SMB and then executed them. But it probably had that same kind of thing, right, where somebody attaches payloads inside an alternate data stream. And you hear about these anecdotal stories a lot, but it certainly is plausible to me as a developer why that would be a concern. On the other hand, there is the reverse problem, that when you downloaded that nice little whatever executable, the zone it came from is stored in the stream, right? That zone info. And so there are ones that Internet Explorer uses on every download, so even though it's not very large. So, you know, there's probably some advantage to supporting streams. Whether we want to support them in full emulation is an interesting question. These are just some things we've been, you know, thinking about generally. They're not showstoppers for SMB3. But as we've talked about in the conference, there are some things that are really interesting. I think everybody has heard about some of the spotlight work that goes on with the VFS Fruit and some of the work that that we talked about for search, desktop search. Some of these RPCs would be very easy to run over your mount context, right? Because we support, you can mount IPC dollar and you can use the same security credentials that you use on your mount to do other RPC calls. But the only RPC call we do today is DFS related to get the referrals. So, you know, mapping reads and writes in SMB client or inside the RPC library over, you know, IPC dollar would be very easy to do and would allow us to use the same security context that we used for the mount. Also, we need to investigate the other copy offload methods. We support copy chunk, but the T10 style copy offload, something we talked about at the kernel file system summit a lot, would be useful to also support. And there's a few special cases of xadders, empty, name but no value. We had to fix a bug with that last year. And also case-sensitive xadder values and namespaces outside the user namespace so we can do a mandatory security of the SE Linux would be useful. So there are a number of things worth talking about. You guys can look at these later for more detailed information. On the wiki, we have a list of these improvements by release, but something I want you to get out of this slide is that first line. Don't use SMB3 before 3.12. Now, if your distro backports it, that's fine, but 3.12 is a reasonable starting point. 3.13 added, you know, the copy chunk, that was neat. There's some really good stuff in here, and you know, you guys can go through the actual list if you want after the talk. But on 3.17, I wanted to call out the large read and write support. And multi-credit support really helps performance, and also this fallocate support. And 3.17, if you're going to mount to a Mac, is what you want because they had some odd bugs I had to work around. I don't know if you guys ever in Samba have ever had to work around a client bug, but as a client developer, you have to work around server bugs, and it's kind of fun. But 3.17, if you're mounting to a Mac or backported, right? So a lot of the most of them I do try to get backported. So if you're running the dot whatever. Many of these bug fixers have been backported by the stable tree maintainers. So, but strictly speaking, if you're talking about 3.17.0 versus 3.16.0. And similarly, there was a problem with the Unix extensions in Mac. They implement the Unix extensions in just a part of it with SIFS dialect, if you're using SIFS 3.18. Now, we have moved recently, in the last 4 months, to Linux 4.0, copying Samba, which is now at Samba 4.2. We're going to be getting there soon. But those were mostly stability fixes. I think that the 4.1 introduced the MapCares fixes we talked about. Some additional fixes on top of the MapCares stuff we talked about. And also some interesting internationalization problems. And in 4.2, we expect to see the Windows 10 support and a lot more. So in SIFSUtils, it's been less active. One of the big changes we've talked about for SIFSUtils, though, is we don't want to change existing behavior of mount. But what we might do is add a mount-t SMB or mount-t SMB3 that sets these parameters by default. MapPosix is already set, but perhaps sets MF symlinks. So a user doesn't have to think. We leave mount-t SIFS alone, but if you mount with these other it symlinks to mount SIFS and does the right thing. So you get this POSIX behavior by default. As you know, we can support beyond SMB3. Samba doesn't support this yet, but SMB 302 works, and SMB 311 soon. Some practical tips, use VERS equals 3.0 as a mount option. And if you're running a Mac, many of the Macs only support 2.1, so unless you're running the most recent Mac, use VERS equals 2.1. Consider adding MF symlinks if you're running a 3.18 or later kernel. And consider adding the SFU mount option if your server is not Samba, or if your server supports, if you have your Samba server mapping DOS attributes. And consider changing the R size and W size. We saw some pretty good performance, but the 1 meg is the default, and we can go larger than 1 meg for I/O sizes to improve performance. In some cases, that may be useful. So the SMB3 support's pretty solid, and I/O can be very fast, but it does lack some optional features. One thing to note is the metadata performance with not having the open query close. We can mount with version 2, version 2.1, version 3, version 3.02, or verse equals 1 is the default, which will go to SIFS. Now, this is a little bit dated. This is a little over 6 months old, but you know, maybe it's gotten a little better, but it gives you a rough idea. Here we're mounting SIFS versus SMB3. What we're seeing is performance about 20% better with SMB3 than with SIFS. We copy to an empty directory, then copy it over the target multiple times and average the results. And then, you know, without the patches, they're about the same performance. With current SIFS, this was 3.16, but it would be the same with 4.0 now, about 20% faster with SMB3. Large file reading. So the previous one was copy to server. We did an 80 meg block size. So here on the second one, you're seeing we're doing, On the second one, we're doing 76% faster with SMB3 than SIFS. Here, we're doing a 1.5 gigabyte test file. SMB averaged about 200 meg per second. SIFS averaged 170, so same server. NFS averaged 116. NFS4 averaged 110. Okay, so we're a lot faster than NFS for this workload. Okay, admittedly not for all metadata workloads and things, but this was a 1.5 gigabyte file, large file copy. And the write speeds varied, but this was, you know, reading we saw a big thing, but SMB even in writing saw pretty good. But I do want to have one big asterisk on the end of this thing, and that is that since this was run, Jeff and some of the guys that work at Primary Data with me have done a lot of scalability work on the kernel. I don't think it's going to largely affect this, maybe a little bit, but it might close a little bit of the gap. But as you can see, I mean, this is not embarrassing. SMB was, you know, 80% faster than NFS, SMB3, and, you know, 10 or 20% faster than SIFS, even for this particular case. And for pretty much all of the I/O, large I/O cases, we saw SMB3 was faster than SIFS, usually faster than NFS. So what do we need? We need to do a lot more testing. Last summer, Pavel added a lot of XFS test work. We can do spec SFS, we can do dbench and all these other things, but XFS test is the gold standard. It runs over local file systems. There's problems with mTime consistency on every network or cluster file system, obviously. So some of the mTime cases will always fail to a network file system because you have two copies of mTime. But most test cases, with some exceptions I note here, will run. We do have some bugs that we're currently chasing relating to fallocate. The fallocate patches are great, but we need to make sure we're zeroing pages. In a couple cases, we're not. So FSX will fail in one of these scenarios. I'm really impressed with SMB3 as a protocol, and I'd really like to make sure we add these features, the multi-channel and some of these other optional features we've talked about. But even in its current state, we're getting really close to the point where deprecating SIFS, sure, let's go for it. There's a few little minor cleanup things we've got to talk about, and possibly that POSIX open flag, but we're getting very, very close. We do have some problems with Samba. We're going to want to get that level 11, for example, returned, and I think I noted a couple other little Samba things we need to fix so we can interoperate better when we're going Linux to Linux. But generally, even in its current state, we look pretty good. I think that the performance will continue to get better and stability will continue to get better with this, but it is stable enough to use now for SMB3. Okay, so we ran out of time, I think. And you know, we'll be around obviously today and tomorrow. So continue to show me ideas on how to solve these POSIX interoperability problems, and we'll be working with the Apple VFS Fruit guys as well as trying to continue to improve this interop. But please give me more ideas about how to make your apps work, and what problems you may have with your apps if you're seeing problems with SMB3. Okay.
Please, a short question only, because we are running out of time.
You mentioned sparse file support. Is that just the attribute manipulation, or is it also...
No, we do the punch hole. We do the punch hole and
seek data, seek hole stuff.
I
well,
I'll check on those, but I thought I have all the f-allocates done. There's a couple of use cases we can't support because the semantics on the wire differ from what f-allocate requests. Okay. So for example, if you're changing the file size or not, right? There's a couple of special cases we can't.
Because we just added to Samba the zero range and query allocated ranges support. So
I don't think there's equivalent to query allocated ranges, but certainly punch hole is there, and there's four or five of them that are implemented today. Yeah. A couple of cases I have to reject because they might change the file size on us. But something we need to follow up on, because I was using your obviously updated code when I was doing this a few months ago. Okay.
So thank you, Stephen Friends.